Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
All right, ladies and gents, welcome to a new episode, a new edition of Absolute Truth Absolutely. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your host, Gio, and I am the youth leader of LWYM, and with me, as always, is pastor of Living Word Church and my father, Jesus Martinez.
Well, thank you, Gio, for not kicking me out of the cockpit, and I guess that'll come up in a few minutes, but it's good to be on board this flight.
Well, that's an interesting way, a nice way to begin our segment, because that's exactly what we want to talk about today. Some people might ask, and they are probably asking themselves already, you guys are not going to cover the whole Trayvon Martin situation. I mean, there's been so much said already in the past couple of days out of this controversy that it isn't even merit for anyone to touch upon this, because I think those that are sane, those that understand what is working behind the scenes there, they pretty much know what's at work here. And this is just more of a dividing force that Satan is pushing through in order to divide us as a nation, as a people. And we pray that this situation would be seen through, of course, with justice, but we have to wait for all of the evidence and everything to come out. There have been people, even politicians, that have already come to these conclusions when, you know, the investigation has basically started all over again. So, you know, it's best that we keep that in prayer. And eventually when due time comes, we'll comment on it if that's what the Lord would have us do. But nevertheless, today I think it's important that we touch upon recent events, I think most recently as of Tuesday, and that is the JetBlue Flight 191. Now, what does that have to do with anything, Gio? Well, Captain Clayton Osborne was caught in mid-flight pretty much with very distressing behavior. There's been multiple reports by multiple eyewitnesses and passengers within the flight that have already said plenty of what he was doing within the flight. First, we find that he was pretty much expulsed from the cockpit by the co-pilot for weird, erratic behavior. And then he starts running up and down the aisles. These are different accounts, of course, which are all taken together from different eyewitnesses. Says he started screaming to the top of his lungs, "Let me in," and he started speaking about Israel and Afghanistan and mentioning Jesus and saying we need to land the plane. And someone even said that there's a bomb and that we needed to land the plane immediately.
He was also saying, say your prayers yeah, repeatedly.
Yeah. So he was subdued by an off-duty New York department cop, and also, thankfully, the plane was landed successfully in an emergency event, of course, in Amarillo, Texas, by an off-duty JetBlue pilot. Now, having said all that, it struck me as very interesting that people are not getting to the core of this situation. They're just reporting it. But if you look at what he was saying and what was going on in the events, one, I think, can successfully conclude and come to the conclusion that this is a man who stored fear, who stored uncertainty in his heart. Now, that fear and that uncertainty is not also something that is placed, he placed within himself, but it's something also that the culture is very good at promulgating and playing to. So we find that the mainstream media, for example, and government and politicians are very good to playing at that fear or to that fear and bringing out the worst in us as individuals.
Well, and we get it from all different angles. We get it not just from the news media, which, by the way, it's, 90% of what we hear? And maybe at the end they have a little funny tidbit to kind of help us swallow all the bad and negative and fear-mongering that goes on.
Yep.
But it's on the sitcoms. It's on the films. It's everywhere. It's fear, fear, fear. And the thing is, Gio, that fear sells. If you are afraid that there will be no more food, you're going to hoard food. If you are afraid that the economy is going to collapse within the next 24 hours, then you're going to buy gold and silver and maybe sell your house and move to the mountains. And so there are unscrupulous people out there that will use fear to get what they want, to get their way. And I believe as a society, we are suffering from that.
Yeah. Well, one of the culprits in all of this is the news media. They are very good at selling a product. And someone might say, Gio, what do you mean by selling a product? Look, at the end of the day, news media outlets, yes, they do exist to give you the events, But we understand that in our day and age, this is a news media that has skewed left. I mean, real left, and they have an ideology that they're pushing. They understand that the power they wield is one of information. And when you can wield that power, you can pretty much manipulate people to doing things or believing things the way that you see them. If not, now you wouldn't have a news media filled with commentators, with correspondents who are giving their views about the issues, trying to get people to believe and adopt the way that they see things. And not only that, if it weren't an issue of advertising dollars, we wouldn't see the amount of commercials, the plethora of commercials that we find in these news media channels. So we find that the news media is part of this culture that promotes fear, that promotes, that does the fear mongering, which is the proper terminology here. And they sell this, and they even play into or play to that people already have in their hearts. So all people are doing is sitting on the edge of their seats waiting for the next developing story. What's going to happen? And the people are living in this fear, and they play to that.
I think most people at this stage of the game are predisposed to fear. And so when you have the news people, which, by the way, through some studies that were done, the American public was asked, who do you trust the most? And most people said the 6 p.m. anchor. And so when you understand that, and when the anchor person understands that, and when the media, news media outlets understand that, what they understand is we are very powerful. And I remember one time listening to a commercial for ABC News where the very well-respected Peter Jennings was on this piece of advertisement for ABC News, and he said, our job is to interpret the news. And I said, what? Are you're kidding me? Your job is to report the news. Let me think what I would think about that. But no, he very clearly said our job is to interpret the news. So they'll show you certain scenes, show some scenes, they'll splice and cut, and then they'll give you their spin on it. So at the end of the day, what you have is a group of people. How many do we have? 5, 10, not all are that big. Some are very big. I'm talking about news outlets, news organizations shaping society. And it's no longer just reporting the events. Now it's explaining the events, interpreting the events. And this is why you have people out there who will tell you, well, no, there's a distinction between the two factions within this particular group. Instead of allowing me to reach that conclusion, if that is the normal course that the analysis of that situation will produce, no, they automatically tell me, and this is the way you will think. And even in our colleges, they call it critical thinking. In reality, they're not asking you or teaching you to ask the right questions so that you can arrive at conclusions. They're telling you what to think, and then they color that by saying you've been taught critical thinking.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the example. I said we weren't going to touch on this, but just to prove your point, we see that ever since the whole Trayvon Martin shootings, that they've used the same two photo identifications to identify who George Zimmerman, who was the shooter, and Trayvon Martin are. And they continue to use these photos, even though there are new photos, more current photos that have been placed out there. But what happens in these photos, there have been experts that have come out and said, whoa, wait a minute, this is a misinterpretation. On one, you have George Zimmerman on a mugshot years ago, and on another one, you have a young Trayvon Martin who looks like an innocent teenager. So look at how the news media is manipulating people's emotions and their way of thinking, their worldview, where they say, oh, this man, he shot this young man. But now when all of the newer photos of Trayvon Martin are coming up, you see a different story. You see more of a delinquent individual, whereas in George Zimmerman, we find a person who, for example, has a suit and tie, a man who wanted to join the police force, a man who is part, if I'm not mistaken, of a professional firm. But they're not using those photos. They're using the original photos that were leaked for what? To form an opinion in people's minds. That's what's happening.
One of the major organizations played the recording, the 911 recording, and they spliced it together to sound something more or less along this line. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing here. He seems strange, and he's black. And when they play the totality of the recording, the police officer is asking him, what is going on there? He says, well, there's a strange fellow. He's acting weird. He's acting strange. And then the officer, you know, the 911 operator asks him the question. Is he a male? Is he Caucasian? Is he white? He's black. But look at the way they played it, the way they cut and spliced that thing to make the guy out to be a racist. This is the kind of stuff that goes on every day in the world of news. It's a business. It's no longer keeping you informed. It's a business, and they're in the business of shaping. And one of the greatest tools that you can have to shape shape minds and just shape hearts is fear, which is what we are talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And the way that this goes back to our real-life example, Clayton Osmond, the pilot of Flight 191, JetBlue Flight 191, is that obviously this is a man who had fear and uncertainty and doubt and panic and terror and horror, whatever word you want to use to describe, about the current situations, for example, in the Middle East because of the things that he was speaking inside of the plane. And you begin to see that, again, like we were talking about, the news media is just one of many entities that plays to that fear to create a sort of vice, if you will, so people can keep coming back for information. Now, the other entity that we are talking about here, and it's important to mention, are governments. Even people within our own government, there are individuals who love to use and they submit to the Alinskian mantra of never let a crisis go to waste. There is no such thing as a bad crisis, they say. No, you use it, you exploit it, and then therefore you try to trample upon people's liberties in that way. And we see that politicians do this all of the time to try to shape people's thoughts, to try to shape people's actions into taking away their own freedom. So now they've used the people against themselves in order to take away freedoms and liberties. It's still manipulation. It's still fear-mongering.
What really concerns me, because this is a Christian program with a Christian outlook, a Christian perspective, is the amount of believers that are moving in fear. I have a piece of scripture here, Gio, that has been a blessing in my life for many, many years. And I would direct the listener to the 112th Psalm, verse number 7. It's talking about the righteous man. And in verse number 7, it says that the righteous man shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Hmm. And so you go, how can a person not be afraid when they hear all the bad news and the commotions and pains and, you know, evil that is going on? Well, it gives you the reason. It says his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I love the words, his heart is fixed. Once you've been grounded, rooted in the fact that God takes care of you, that God is your protector, that he is your shield, then these things that are taking place will not move you. But now you have people, I've heard him already saying, I don't know if I'll fly again.
Exactly.
How many more pilots like Osmond are out there? There was a newscaster, this is a lady newscaster who has a brother who's a pilot, says years ago they were testing pilots for stress and, you know, for behavioral issues. It says they no longer do that. And her brother is a pilot, and he said, I don't know why they stopped doing this, but maybe they would have figured out that this guy has issues. Well, perhaps. But there are people that are snapping, not just in the airline industry. Let's go back to all the people that have snapped in the mail carrier business. What is going on there?
Yeah.
And people in their offices, and people in playgrounds, and people in school, people are snapping everywhere.
In the military, for example.
In the military. So while we forget that these things have been happening, because the latest one is the most popular, the one that is out in front of our face, people are snapping everywhere. And I think your analysis is a good one. It's the fact that people are accumulating fear, and at one point or another, they boil over.
Yeah. And I think that we as Christians, we have to be very careful, because I can understand, and I think people will get what I'm trying to say by this, that I can understand if a sinner lives in fear, because they don't have a refuge. They have nowhere to go. But a Christian, when the Bible is replete with God's word letting us know that there's no need to fear, there's no need to live in any sort of fear. Now, before I continue to that point, it's important to note, some people will say, oh, you guys are blaming the news media and you guys are blaming governments for people's actions. This does not discount that people are responsible for what they intake and the fear that they themselves accumulate in their own lives. People are responsible, they're accountable for their own actions. And what we're calling for, what we're saying is the following, that the only recourse, the only refuge that people can find from all of the fear-mongering is Jesus Christ. It's found in the scriptures. Well, Gio, but give me an example of this. I'll give you an example. I'm glad you asked. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms 91. Most people will say, yeah, that's one of my favorite psalms. But what they do is that they do a vague repetition of verses, and they don't take the time to dwell, to really ponder and to reflect on what the verse has to say, on the verses have to say. For example, from verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. When you're talking about dwelling, you're talking about inhabiting, about a constant abode, somewhere where you are consistently, that you're there consistently.
It's your residence, your place of residence.
Exactly. Well put. Shall abide, again, there's another terminology, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now it continues. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. So not only is David here talking about a dwelling place, being in God's presence, but that in God's presence we have security, and that trust that we place in God is not going to come back empty. In other words, God gives us that security. God gives us this sense, this nurturing feeling that he protects us, that he takes care of us, and that there is no need to be fearful if we have that protection.
But this goes to prove also, Gio, talking about believers and how they have begun to move in fear, which, by the way, 1 John says there's torment in fear, that their previous walk wasn't really attached to the Lord. It wasn't under his covering. It's been on the great USA, our great system, our great military, our great dollar, our great society. And now that these things have started to shake, what you can also see is that they weren't really trusting in the Lord. They were trusting in the things that we as a people here have had for so many, many years. And I hope that these things would be restored. But nevertheless, it's a good thing to see where our trust has been placed. And it surely has not been in the Lord. Otherwise, we would not be in the state of panic that we, talking about Christians, find ourselves in. So while I do not enjoy the things that are happening to this country, and I lament over the fact that we are hurting as a people and losing many of the beautiful things that we had, nevertheless, I rejoice in the fact that even in this difficult area that we find ourselves in, like perhaps never before, maybe since the late 30s or early 40s, we can see and gain profit from it. And by that I mean we can actually examine and analyze where our trust has been laid. And it hasn't been in the Lord.
Yeah.
It's been in our nation, in the dollar, in our strength. And so from that vantage, it's a good thing because we can take our trust and place it in the proper place in the hands of the Lord.
Yeah. I think it's important that we end this program, of course, going back to the scriptures as we already have, but looking at two particular passages that I think that are of utmost importance to show us that we as Christians, we do have a place of refuge. We do have a place of protection. And it is called Jesus Christ. For example, in Colossians 3:3, it says, if you have died, you are hidden with Christ in God. Someone might say, well, yeah, that sounds nice, but what does it mean? Well, let's use a couple verses to clarify what Paul was trying to state there. We find that on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to have its own anxiety. Tomorrow will have its own troubles. Forget about that. Just fixate your sights on the today. And then in Philippians chapter 4, we find in verse 6 and 7, it says, the Apostle Paul writing, be anxious for nothing. Again, the key phrase, for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the kicker. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, let's stop there for a second, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If Clayton Osborne were to submit himself to this, he wouldn't have to worry. If people were to submit themselves to this, they wouldn't have to worry. If Christians were to submit themselves to this, they wouldn't have to worry. Why? Because the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. There's the key word there. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You've said it before. Paul lived in more perilous times than we are living in today. We're talking about the Roman Empire was replete with idolatry, with sinfulness. I mean, it was all around him. When he goes to Athens, he says that his spirit was burning within him because of the amount of idolatry that he saw there. And this is a man who is speaking about peace in the midst of turmoil. There has to be something to this peace of the Lord which surpasses all understanding.
Well, again, God does not create evil. Nevertheless, when something strikes us, there's an opportunity for a lesson. You can tell your child, don't stick your finger in that wall outlet. And after 10 times, he sticks his finger in there and you get sapped. Well, you didn't put it there to sap your child. Hmm. Nevertheless, you're going to use the opportunity to teach him a lesson. And once again, God didn't create this adversity that we find ourselves in. But another thing that comes to the forefront is the fact that we have stored biblical verses in our minds, but they never went down to the heart. And so now is a good time to store these things in the heart. And what's the difference? Well, when they're in the heart, they will be in your thought life. They will be in your speech, and they will control your walk. And so we find, Gio, in all these things that our relationship with the Lord has been superficial, to say the least. And now that these things are upon us, we can do one or two things. Continue to stay in fear and suffer the consequences of fear, which I tell you, they will destroy you, not just mentally, but even physically.
Yeah.
Or we can turn our hearts to the Lord and say, I've been shallow. My relationship with you has been superficial. I would ask of you, Father God, that your word would just abide deep inside me, and that I would abide in you, and that you would teach me how to fellowship with you and walk with you, so that the kingdom of fear, if you will not be the one controlling my life, but peace, love, and joy, which is the kingdom of God, will be in control of my life in all the days that you allow me.
Amen. Colossians 3:3 now makes much more sense, doesn't it? Our lives are hidden with Christ.
Absolutely.
In God. So amen to that. Well, we end our program with that. We hope that this has been a blessing to you. And if it has, we ask you that you were to forward these podcasts to your friends, to your family members, co-workers, co-students, whatever the case may be, even your teachers, for those younger students that are listening to us. They also need to know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. If you have any questions, please email us at ata@lwym.org. That address, again, is ata@lwym.org. Visit our website, lwym.org/ata. For Pastor Jesus Martinez, this has been Gio saying goodbye, and may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ata. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.